This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 17, featuring Ron Algar-Watt, Matt Robotham, Gav Brown, and Gav Drury. Discussion.
Hi, hello, yes, we are back with our first intercontinental podcast. Of course, Matt, who's just on North America, boring. Matt,
hey. Hi.
And coming to us from England, from some place in England that isn't London or Stonehenge, is our two friends named Gav. We've had them on. We've had their letters on the show before. Now they're here, Irish Gav and English Gav, gentlemen.
Hello, English Gav here.
What's the haps, the other Gav?
That is the worst question I've ever heard. Still the worst
You're
question.
Matt now, I've ever heard. What's the haps? Yours in Christ.
Yeah. You feel not dudes.
Are you so Irish Flonk is actually who we're talking to now.
Don't ever insult me like that again.
Well,
I do want a t-shirt that says "What's the haps" on it though.
Well, we were.
It could be a sarcastic voice T-shirt.
We were discussing on Twitter the other day, as Matt and I are wont to do, how to exploit you, the listeners, and take your hard earned money. And one of the things we were talking about is what we could put on a T-shirt. And you know, we came up with. Apparently, this is the first time we've actually discussed this on the air. It's been called to our attention that our catchphrases, something that I say constantly, is "It's true."
It is.
And, it's true.
And Matt, of course, always. What your catchphrase is?
You're never not doing something.
Exactly. Like so. And we were toying in the sort of pre-show part of switching, of him saying it's true and me saying never not, and then we realized that that's a bit gay.
And just to once again point out, we are not gay.
No,
at all.
No, ever. He and I. Well, no, we're not gay for each other.
No, there's anything wrong with that.
No, but, yeah. No.
Oh.
Right. Hey, that's an exotic reference to them. I mean, you can say Seinfeld again. But really, to them, that's, you know, that's the crazy foreign show from elsewhere. That actually does sort of bring me to one of the big things that I did want to discuss. I am unashamedly an Anglophile. I love many things British, particularly British comedy. Of course, you know, starting with Monty Python, going through Red Dwarf, Spaced. We talked all kinds of stuff.
Those other ones we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. But lots of things.
People weren't listening to us.
Matt and I both grew up on this stuff. Of course, you got into Blackadder. I've yet to be won over by the good seasons of that.
Well, my dad's English, so this stuff was just always around.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
That's correct, Matt.
you're never not saying Blackadder.
You sure did say a correct statement there.
I am the
But seriously, Blackadder is actually my favorite sitcom ever.
And I have been told that
it does have laughter in it, but I mean, it is just really well written.
Well, and I know, I've been told
we know
that
how much Al hates the sound of laughter.
He does. Children's, everyone's laughter. He hates.
Through me, no. This is so hard.
You go to like a comedy, and just the sound just rips you apart of people enjoying themselves.
I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast itself, but the shows, the more recent shows like Arrested Development and Scrubs, and even going back to like Malcolm in the Middle, there's no more laugh track. There's no more live studio audience, and I've become accustomed to the faster pacing of modern comedy. And going back to older shows and hearing that laughter, it bothers me. But no, Blackadder, I just, for the record, I only watched the first series, and I've heard pretty universally that I need to give it a fair chance with, you know, the much superior later series.
Nobody likes the first series.
It's just bad.
Incidentally, I am using the correct nomenclature there, correct? It is a series.
Yes, series.
Not a season.
Yes, you are correct.
A series consisting of three shows.
Six. It was in fact the longest running show in UK history.
And that's the thing when I, of course, going through like Red Dwarf, where you know, a series does last six episodes, sometimes eight.
Six episodes every 8 years.
Yeah. Or what else? There were a few other shows we were watching that had that same. and I'm drawing a blank now, but a few British, and again, I'm all about, you know, enjoying the British comedies, and I can't, of course, now that I have to say it, I just,
yeah, now that you're being documented.
But every time I hear there's a new show, it's like, great, I'll watch it all, and then in half an hour, I'm finished.
That's like me in life. Oh,
I'm sorry?
That's like me in life. Whenever we call anything.
Oh, I thought you meant like whenever I find something to enjoy, it's just so brief, and then
no, he has brain damage. Oh,
I should point out that you two are in fact drunk. That was a stipulation of you appearing on the show. That
you're already pointing that out.
Well, you've been drunk for some time. Is that not
about years?
Six, 7 years.
Now, these two, I mean, we do identify them as Irish Gav and English Gav, but they do now, in fact, both live in England near one another. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Yes. I don't know why, but yes, I'm here.
And as we record this on, it's a Saturday afternoon here on the west coast of North America. It is, in fact, what, approaching?
Next Monday over there, right?
It is actually 2013. I can tell you when.
So that whole world ending in 2012 thing is just crap, right? I mean, there's no merit.
Well, no, we're actually just
we averted it.
You two, by drinking.
Yeah,
you're drinking averted the apocalypse.
There's only one way to save the Earth.
Right, get the points. Yes, that's my English accent.
Can I hear your English accent?
Oh yeah,
you're Alan Moore.
I gotta get into Alan character.
You're Lord British. Lord British.
Yes, I am from England, the depths of England. Well, look how English I am with my English accent from England.
Matt, that you cunt. That's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
it's like Gav talking to me now, but not moving his lips.
I should point out, I don't think
Alan's pronounced in it.
In it, of course. Well, no, I was doing.
See, Matt knows something.
Yeah.
Well, Matt knows many things. I don't want to.
I just said my dad's English. I grew up around.
Exactly. You see.
Yeah, but you have also gone on the record as saying you have rejected and resisted everything that your dad wants you to be. So.
Well, yes.
In that sense, you may be the least English person ever.
In the world.
It's true. Damn it!
Verboten.
That's going to end up being going on the verboten list.
Well, damn it, it's true, and the other one, which I can't remember now, because obviously I'm drunk.
Obviously. Well, we did say you were Irish, so...
Yes.
Yes, I did make that joke.
Yes, sorry.
These guys, I mean, it is a Saturday evening, and they have both said, I did approach them and ask if they would be on the show, and we were both sort of like, no, we enjoy listening, but we're not, you know, not really into doing that, but... Then it occurred to them, I think, what was it, yesterday when you were both, you know, drinking?
It was Wednesday. We were quite drunk. I did say to Gav, you know, if we could say when we're actually drunk, if you can record a podcast right now, that would be fine. But
right.
Then I got more drunk and I was just like, let's just do one on Saturday.
And that was, I mean, really, that's fine. I'm getting you at your peak here. You mentioned in the pre-show that the more you drink, the more of an attention whore you become. And that's my natural state. So now we're operating basically on the same level here.
You're almost reaching the level of self-fondness that Al exists in every day.
Which
I'm as self-aware as Al.
Well, self-aware is a whole other thing, because if I was actually aware of what I was doing, I would feel incredible shame. You have to take the shame out of the equation, or you can't be as much of a whore as I am for attention. Not just a regular whore.
I'm glad you said attention after that.
No, those rumors are unfounded and unproven.
And no one's photographed anything.
Completely true.
Right. That's right.
That's correct.
One of the phenomena we did want to point out, we have observed the dynamic between Irish Gavin, English Gavin, and they are both named Gavin by birth. These are not affected names. They are both actually...
just one day decide, hey, you know what would be easier if we both had the same name?
It would be a lot more.
Yeah. we were named Steve and Pete, but we just thought we'd name ourselves Gavin. Gavin.
Well, is it not true that in the UK, most males are named either Gavin, Simon, or Nigel? I mean, those are basically the only names you have, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's not John Smith?
No. It's not. Mm. That was a beer joke for all you here listeners, by the way. I say here listeners. There's what, maybe one?
There's us.
There's us, yes.
Yeah. It was a joke for us.
Yes, but we've just delayed. We've delayed our joke for the point of a joke.
Please stop interrupting me with humor. I mean, I must.
We're trying to run a serious podcast here, yeah. Okay?
Yes. And we have many times now brought on very funny people and spend an entire hour speaking on serious topics, and we must continue that tradition. Now, we realize that the dynamic between you two is very much like the dynamic between Matt and I. You treat each other the same.
I'm not gay at all.
Well,
No,
not that.
And neither am I.
No.
No, you're not. I'm moving on.
The dynamic between you two is very similar. You are obviously friends. I mean, you live in the same town by design. You drink a lot, but you are very abusive to one another, and it's hilarious. And
well, abusiveness is never not hilarious. I'm never not being abusive.
It's true. God, you guys are nothing like us.
God, is that what I sound like?
Well, without
the Irishness.
Yeah, without the endearing, Irish quality.
Oh, I'm never not doing that.
That's more Scottish, I think.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that.
You're just doing your Mike Myers impression there. That's hardly...
well, yes.
That's hardly the same.
Yeah, didn't he used to be funny?
He's never not been funny. But we have pointed out that... And we realized...
Like Martin Short.
What's that?
Yes, just like Martin Short. That was a link to the previous broadcast, by the way.
Oh, right.
Which I have listened to.
12?
And I haven't not listened to it in any way.
You're listening to it right now.
Yes. I've never not listened to it.
Actually, if you want to get caught up, perhaps we can just take this opportunity and replay the podcast in its entirety for the audience.
Yes. Put a link in right now.
Insert podcast here.
And these two will be drinking beer while that happens. And
yes, they will come back and we can barely speak.
I might just go off for a drink myself.
and the funny thing is, Matt and I are not big drinkers. We don't particularly consume a large amount of alcohol. So in that respect, they're nothing like us. But that's a cultural thing. That's a local, a local tradition. That's a local, We have also found, we have friends online, one of them is from the Dominican Republic and one's from Panama. They are sort of the Latin American version of us. And I don't want to say we started it. They're not necessarily the version of us. I think we are all versions of some sort of universal archetype of bickering, not gay friends.
Yeah, it all started when in the Iron Age.
Yeah.
When there were two people.
Well, that's why this is the first time we've had four people on. So that's why.
Yes, I was going to say, I think the most you've had is three, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been reluctant because I mean, we know a lot of funny people. And we know a lot of funny people that would be funny with each other. But I'm concerned about the talking over each other factor.
Luckily, you guys sound nothing alike. So it should be really easy to distinguish all of us.
No, I'm really concerned about the pacing, talking over each other and the, allowing for jokes and that kind of thing. And then I realized, fuck it. I'm not going to get these guys on unless...
Well, that's the motto of this show anyway, so that works out.
I'm not calling this episode fuck it.
Yeah, that should be the Sarcastic Voyage t-shirt. Oh, fuck it.
No, we will get some attention from the God, what is that guy? Larry the Cable Guy fans, the Get Her Done guys.
Ah.
So probably we won't go with that. We'll try to keep it a little less glib.
Fuck him.
I'm not gonna say fuck it, fuck him, but Larry the Cable Guy should die in a fire.
Oh, I'm
okay. Let's pretend we don't know who Larry the Cable Guy is.
Oh God, you're so lucky.
He is one of those, I'm sure you have these over there. He's one of those, I'm a working class blue collar comedian. I'm not pretentious at all. Look at me. I'm making jokes about being dirty and being
I sure do like being drunk and waving my arms back and forth.
I'm positive you must have the English equivalent of that kind of comedian.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're not funny.
Well, no, neither is
no,
he.
No, well, neither is this guy.
He calls himself Larry the Cable Guy.
He doesn't install cable at all.
No, he's a comedian.
What a bastard.
I,
We should get Ofcom.
He doesn't install cable, and he doesn't have anything to do with the movie The Cable Guy.
No, not at all.
Really, there should be some kind of laws against that.
Well, we're...
Let's call him Larry the...
his big catchphrase, and this really has turned into one of those phenomena where it's on t-shirts, it's on hats, it's ridiculous. I think it's calmed down now, but for a while there...
Well, it fucking appeals to these real people who are like this character he's playing.
Well, the catchphrase is "Gitter done," G-I-T, R done, like D-O-N-E,
D-U-N.
Oh, is it D-U-N?
I think so.
And that's the whole catchphrase is like, you know, well, you better get her done.
Eat your beer.
Tuck her gerb.
So he's the Swedish chef on Muppet.
No, but I do. This is why we need a European type perspective on the show, because I that would not have occurred to me at all. and if I say European, and that's offensive, because I know you guys aren't on the continent, I apologize. I am an ignorant.
No, I'm fine with you calling us European.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I am European. I feel.
Are you?
Well, he's a cunt. I don't know if he's European.
We had to get that on the air. So I'm glad.
You're a European cunt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you any relation to Advice Cunt Ann Landers?
Oh, no. No. Oh,
of the Boston Cunts. Now you have four of us laughing in your ear at the same time.
Yes.
I'm glad you tuned in. Where was I going? Who the hell knows?
One of the main things
I did want to discuss that we, because the four of us do have different tastes, different, you know, we go in different directions. One of us, I won't say who, is less sort of up to speed on the pop culture stuff than the rest of us.
That would be me.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to call you out by name, but...
Well, if you didn't, I was...
It will become apparent very shortly.
No, I'm trying I really wanted to stick to things that we all know and we all enjoy. And the one thing overwhelmingly that comes to mind is Terry Pratchett's Discworld series.
Yes.
Which I had the joy of being introduced to a few years ago via the audiobooks, the unabridged audiobooks, first read by Nigel Planer, then read by Stephen Briggs, is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic, full dramatized, just really great. And they're great books anyway. It's sort of like what Douglas Adams was to science fiction, Terry Pratchett is to fantasy. And it started as sort of a broad parody, and it's really turned into this whole world of its own.
Yeah, and the books actually started getting good once he got away from that sort of like Dungeons and Dragons parody thing, which always sort of bugged me.
Yeah, the first couple had like the parody of Conan the Barbarian, and I keep saying Conan now. Conan. Conan O'Brien, Conan the Barbarian, different.
That's right, Conan.
Right.
Jay Leno, the barbarian.
There was actually a great little joke on Twitter. Of course, David Letterman just had his little... This is going out weeks after the fact, but right now this is a current story with his whole blackmail extortion deal. And someone on Twitter made the joke, someone at NBC has threatened Jay Leno, if they don't give him $2 million, they're going to release tapes of the Jay Leno show. And as cheap and obvious a joke as that was, that made me laugh. Oh God! But these books really have, like I say, they started as sort of a fantasy parody. It was sort of broad, and I don't read a lot of fantasy, so I didn't get a lot of that. But I'm glad I stuck with it because Matt has said, "What is it, book four? I think Mort."
Mort's my big recommendation.
You
for
working
people
at a bookstore? That's what you like put in people's hands if they say they want to read Discworld, right?
And
I said a couple of books after that, the first one where they start doing their Night Watch series, Guards.
Mm-hmm.
That to me where it really started taking off. There's not a lot of bad books after that. And I
think it's just Moving Pictures.
Yeah, that's about it. And that
yes,
at
that,
least
so, so that was the one there. That I yeah, must have been when I was a teenager. I actually bought in book form.
Oh, that's right. We talked about, I said Discworld and you said, oh, I tried one of those. It was terrible.
Yeah. I bought that and just didn't really do it for me. Yes, because you actually put me onto that and I ended up listening to the audios from the start. But they are actually very good. But for some reason, I started with that one. I don't know why. I think I just bought it on a whim, but it just didn't do it for me.
Well, and it's a series that it does. It is rewarding to read in order. Like, it's good to start at book one and read all the way through. But there are certainly books you can pick up and just read from anywhere, and it's mm-hmm. not that big a deal. But
well, I mean, I started the series with Hogfather, and that's like the 20th book or something, and it's a sequel.
Right, that's true. Damn it!
Yeah.
Verboten.
I can't.
And the adaptation of that is actually very good as well.
It's true.
Sky's
been doing the. They did that, and then they did the very first two books, the Color of Magic and Light Fantastic. Oh. They did that mm-hmm. one, and that was good. And they have Making Money coming up soon. Is that correct?
Oh, Score.
Yeah. Not Making Money. Going Postal. I'm sorry.
Going Postal. Yeah.
I always confuse those.
Making Money is coming after that, I believe.
That makes sense. It's a direct sequel with most of the same cast. When is that? Is that like Easter? Isn't that when they usually try to put those out around March?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really looking forward to that. They have made good movies. The books themselves are really worth reading. I mean, they are standard novel length, 300-400 pages, but they're quick reads. They're light.
Yeah, they read really fast. Like, I can read one in like 3 days.
And it's the only series I can think of. And I don't read a lot of long book series, but I mean, as far as all media, comics, movies, whatever, there's usually sort of a diminishing returns where each new thing is a little less good than the last. But with Discworld, I would say, with rare exceptions, they just get better. Everyone that comes out is my new favorite.
Mm-hmm.
They've just improved over time, and it's amazing.
Yeah, they definitely do improve with each book.
And there's little sub, there's a group of characters in the city that are the sort of the Night Watchmen, and you see the gradual rise from them being this sort of ragtag band to being like this full-on police force.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Vimes books are my absolute favorites, the Night Watch ones. They're just so fucking good.
But then there's the other books that are the witches that are also quite good.
Yes.
I mean, since there's the four of us here and we're all familiar with them, Gav, one of you, I don't care who, which do you prefer? Which is your favorite?
I've always been a fan of the Rincewind books myself.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You don't hear a lot of people pick those out. That's the character that began in book one, sort of an inept wizard, kind of running around, having adventures, and he comes back again from time to time. And really, those are your favorite? Like, any particular one really jump out at you as a strong example? Or?
Not any particular one.
You just like them as a whole series, as a continuous.
Yeah, you got me on them, and I started from the beginning. And obviously, the first one is a Rincewind book, and it just clicked with me straight away. I just love the character from the beginning.
And he is sort of a standard, I would say, comedic archetype, where he's sort of the coward that gets in adventures and sort of the unlikely hero kind of character. And it's a very classic, standard comedic setup, but one of the great things about Terry Pratchett is he can take those standard, you know, like especially trappings of fantasy and really turn them into something engaging.
Mm-hmm.
So other Gav, what about you?
I would say the Gore's books for me.
Those are the ones we were just talking about with the...
Yeah. I do think they just so build up on each other so much. You know, they start off and then it just goes through Ankh-Morpork so well, you know, each book.
Right, that's the main city where most of the action...
that's the main city where most of the action takes place. It's just...
I love that they're just... It's almost like a fantasy police procedural.
Yeah, he does a lot of that.
That exists in a magic world.
They have to deal with a lot of the trappings of the medieval, the standard, like instead of guns, there's crossbows, and dragons exist in that world, and they're like they have, you know, golems working on their police force. And
it does make fun of a lot of the, you know, standard sort of buddy cop movie
sort
of thing, which I do like as well.
Which book was that where he had this sort of running commentary on like affirmative action and race relations and all that. And the two big conflicting non-human races in Discworld are the trolls and the dwarves. And he had which guards book was it where he was forced to bring on a dwarf and a troll for the first time?
Men-at-Arms.
Right. That has some of my favorite bits with the buddy cop with where they end up being together, the dwarf and the troll. And these are bitter enemies, these two races. And it's that standard action movie cliche of the, you know, they're forced together to work and they become great friends. And some of the stuff there is really some of the best character stuff I've read in anything ever. Mm-hmm. Just the relationship between, it was Detritus and Cuddy, was it?
Yes.
That Dwarf. Sounds familiar. Yes.
Yeah, it's like book 11, and there's like 30 books in the series, so I certainly can't blame you if you don't remember right off the top of your head. And you're, of course, quite drunk, so...
just in the background, I like this world.
But really, these books, I mean, they're humorous, but they're not like, it's not like disposable, you know, like they're really engaging characters and really they deal with some serious topics and some really touching, they cover a lot of ground, they really do.
Yeah.
And right. Terry Pratchett pumps one of these out about once a year.
Yeah.
And he has been since like the 80s, and it's just amazing.
Especially now.
Yeah. Well, right now he's been diagnosed with the early onset of Alzheimer's. Is that is that what it is?
A version of it, yes.
Right. Or arrhythmic syndrome or something like that. Nobody's going to get that one.
That's okay.
I got it.
Of course you did.
Naturally, I didn't.
That's okay. Star Trek. That's all right. No, but he's early in the stages of Alzheimer's, and he has said it's getting a little more difficult to focus. He can't multitask as well. He's still putting out, like, there's a new book. It should be out around the time we put this podcast out, which is book, like, 30, 31, something like that.
Yes, Unseen Academicals, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm reluctant, like, because it's dealing with what you call football, what we call soccer, but sports. Yeah. And I'm not real keen on that, but it's Terry Pratchett, and every book's better than the last, so, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with football, inverted commas, soccer.
Oh, inverted comma.
Yeah. But some of the reviews I've read, it's more of a backdrop than an actual focus of the story.
Yeah, I guess you said there's reviews out now, and they're quite favorable so far.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it'd probably be like the one, you know, where they did about opera.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was more of a backdrop than it was the focus of the story.
Right. Mm. And he got some great digs in at, like, Goth Girls and a lot of, like, I would say Discworld fans. Like,
Yeah, absolutely.
The larger girls that dress all in black and, you know, not to put down larger girls, like, dress
as Pikachu.
Right. But these are really fantastic books. And for once, out of all my Anglophilia, out of all the hey watch this show, Irish Gav handed me Spaced, the Simon Pegg Jessica Stevenson show, and turned me onto that, and I loved it. And it was so nice for me to go back to someone from the UK and say, hey, you know, there's this great thing, there's this great English writer that you haven't read before, and just made me happy. Of course, you know, everything from America is crap, obviously. So, But no, and this is something we discussed in the pre-show as well, that there seems to be a lot less stigma on this sort of nerdish, like Doctor Who over there's this huge phenomenon over there.
Yeah, it's like a Saturday night primetime show it would be like in the top 10 ratings for the week and all.
And that's just amazing, because it's still...
Meanwhile, we're over here watching Who Wants to Something Die. Somewhere.
Are you making a 1999, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I'm not... wrong about it. Like, we've still got, like, fucking Are You Smarter Than a Whatever, and, like,
I was called out by Adrian.
Are you smarter than an apricot?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure that I am.
It depends on the questions.
Yeah, you know, you can really give an apricot questions that they're
going to
be naturally.
I was just wondering what questions an apricot would get.
See, I don't know, because I'm not smarter than an apricot, so I wouldn't know.
Where are you right now?
I was going to say, Adrian called us out. Adrian that we had on, what is it, number 11?
Yeah.
Called us out for, in a different podcast, mentioning that Fox cancels shows and talking about reality shows, and basically just our whole argument about American TV being bad. And you know what? Shut up, Adrian. American TV
it's still true.
Yeah, just because it's trite and just because a million people have said it doesn't make it less true. So
Fox canceled 1,000 shows just last year.
And he was calling us out on that specifically, that we Fox canceled shows, and like...
Even shows they didn't have, they just canceled other network shows.
Oh, yeah, they canceled Twin Peaks on ABC in the early 90s before Fox was even a network yet. I
mean, yes, they have access to a time machine.
I don't know anything about what you're talking about right now. certainly not about a certain cartoon show on Fox that I am not allowed to discuss. But no, I mean, just because everyone complains about Fox canceling shows doesn't make that less true. Like,
yeah,
it still bugs the hell out of me. They just canceled King of the Hill, which I enjoy. And granted, that show, I don't know how it didn't get canceled 20 years ago, but
yeah, there's no reason that show should have lasted as long as it did.
But it was still a great show. And
I mean, it was an excellent show, but like, it's, you'd think like after one season, well, it's an animated series that's, could very easily have been a live action series.
There was nothing about that that was animated at all. They did nothing exaggerated or,
yeah,
apart from people not aging, everything about, yeah, that was just very muted and realistic. So yeah, that it got 10 years is incredible, but yeah, I'm still upset. And of course we're losing the Brits now. They're like, wait, a King of the,
no, West? I know what King of the Hill is. Yes, I would see it. I see it on occasion. Yes,
it's, I think
it's not a bad show. Yeah.
No, it's just nothing like The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's nothing like nothing like you would imagine an animated show would be.
Exactly.
It's like when The Simpsons sort of got popular and like there was just that flood of animated primetime shows.
And that's for some the reason, one that stuck.
Yeah, for some reason, King of the Hill stuck.
That's,
and
yeah, I think it was written the other day that The Simpsons is about the one in what, four animated shows that Fox have that isn't made by Seth MacFarlane now.
Yeah,
well, and that's really my renewed anger at Fox canceling things is looking at their Saturday night or Sunday night lineup of animated shows, which over the years has featured, I mean, a varying quality. I'm not saying these are all great shows, but very different shows. From Futurama to Family Guy when it first started to
The X-Files.
Well, I'm thinking more of the animated stuff.
Well, I want to watch The X-Files.
Right. The X-Files.
Yes, that Simpsons episode with The X-Files, that wasn't actually a series.
It should have been.
That was in continuity.
Well, yes, it should have been.
I watched the hell out of that show.
I actually watched The X-Files. Well, I'm watching The X-Files in order at the moment, and I actually included that Simpsons episode within the order that I was watching The X-Files.
You figured it out, like where it fits in the continent. Like this must be season four because it aired on this night or whatever.
No, I used the internet for that.
Well, of course, but you did watch it in the correct position, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's exactly That's what the internet's for.
Well, right. That is.
It's our tool for being even geekier.
And lazy.
And lazy. Don't
something
forget
I should
lazy.
Definitely point out having the Gavs on is these two are the pinnacle, the embodiment of human sloth.
Lazy.
Yes. There is actually.
Well, actually, we're actually more lazy than sloths, because I think on the QI episode, they actually said sloths weren't actually that lazy.
Ooh, QI, there's a good one. This is a show that I've been wanting to sing the praises of for
good a long line.
Time. Segway, I think you're fine.
and the only way you can kill it being a good segue is by pointing that out. So thank you.
Have we pointed it out enough yet?
This show, QI, it's hosted by Stephen Fry. There's four comedians, panelists. There's a permanent panelist, Alan Davies, and three other different comedians. Some of them you might have seen on like Whose Line Is It Anyway or other different shows. The framework is like a quiz show, like a trivia show. But it's can you help me out here, guys? I always have a hard time really selling the show. It's brilliant, but
it is like a panel show, but it's like the anti panel show.
Yeah, it just uses the panel
intelligence.
Plus, I'm not sure we have the panel show. Like, I don't think that's viable a medium as it is over there. So,
no one over here wants to watch people talk for half an hour. Right.
But I mean, it's framed like a quiz show. They ask you what you think are standard, like, you know, normal information that everyone knows, conventional wisdom, and then they completely, you know, penalize you for, you know, being wrong about it. The one I always start everyone with is the second episode they did where they asked how many moons the Earth has, and of course you say, well, one, obviously. No, that's wrong. That sets off the alarms. There apparently are two.
Yes. Yeah, I do like the fact that I think people now are slightly more wary about obvious questions. Although it does amaze me that people ask obvious questions and they say the obvious answers, even now.
Yeah, that show's been on for
on the show. Yeah.
They're going into
it's been around what
G is it now? And they've done like 70 episodes, and people still just
it'll be on about 6-7 years now.
Right. And you would think by now people would know, oh, well, obviously if they ask what the largest mammal is, don't say the blue whale. Because that's not, that's never the, it's never the blue whale. It's
like, no, well, it was once.
That's one of the,
and then just no one answered for like an hour.
That would be the one time that Alan Davis never said blue whale, and it was the answer.
that has been one of their running gags, is of course, that's one of those conventional wisdom things that everyone thinks they know, that the largest mammal on Earth is the blue whale, and the...
What is the largest mammal on Earth?
It's the blue whale.
That may actually be the correct answer, but they frame the question so that you think you're answering that, and it's wrong. And it's a very, very intelligent show and very funny. They get very funny panelists on there. Actually, this series, John Hodgman is going to be on there. He seems like a good fit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's a very good fit for that show. Also, David Tennant, who plays Doctor Who, is going to be on one of them. And it's just a fantastic show. And Stephen Fry, I mean, Matt said this before, you could listen to the guy read anything. I mean,
yeah.
Just, you know, read you minutes from the, you know, the town council meeting or what. He's just
from the phone book or...
Right. I actually might not be as inclined to read a Harry Potter book, but the fact that he's done the audiobooks of the first couple, versions.
One of the few times.
Hobo names.
Well, that's John Hodgman. he read. Did you listen to that? I know I turned you on to the audiobook. Did you listen to the hobo name part?
I listened to some of it. I just could not get through all of it.
No, it's really. I think it's more of an exercise in I'm going to do this. That doesn't mean you have to listen to it.
Well, yes.
But the rest of the book, I think, was quite good.
I tried to, though.
John Hodgman's, what was his first? I know the new one is, God, now I'm getting the titles all wrong.
Areas of My Expertise.
Areas of My Expertise is the first book. That's the one we're talking about. And then there's More Information Than You Require is the second.
Yeah.
Where was I? Oh, but Stephen Fry. I mean, I would listen to him read pretty much anything, and him on this show is just brilliant because he's got that mixture that British, you know, authority and posture and in intellect, but he can also just be really dirty at the same time.
Yes,
and they do love to say cock on that show.
Cock.
Well, who doesn't?
They bleep the word fuck, but they can say cock all day long. I don't know.
And they do. Welcome to QI. Cock, 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 cock.
That was in Series C, I believe.
Cock, cock.
Ah, see what you did there.
They're drinking, and I made the specific request because they were pouring in the pre-show bit where it just sounds so. Let's have a listen. I can just tell that's one of those thick, like, Guinness-type, like, you're pouring soup into a cup right now. That's, like, this thick, oily kind of...
So thick you could chew it.
Yeah. Who doesn't enjoy chewing a good beer? They're never not doing it.
You'll notice that wasn't me.
No. Catchphrase, as I told you.
Yes, because your voices are quite distinct. I can tell between you.
True.
And see, you said mine. Thank you for that.
That's right. We're not gay.
No. However, it was mentioned that since the two of them are sitting there drinking, that there would be perhaps the need for the occasional toilet break. And, of course, being two of them, that's fine. I mean, one of them can sit and talk. And Matt said, no, you have to do it the way we do it.
One of you has to piss into the cupped hands of the other one.
Right.
All right. Not a catheter bag. Then,
No. I mean, you have to extend your cup. You have
to get ready to cup. Oh, dear.
I could listen to English people swear all day. Well, let's see. We've covered the Anglophilia. We've covered the Discworld. Oh, there is the one other subject that I think we do need to discuss here. And I am getting a little more serious in tone because this is a bit.
Just like to bring things down.
To get the things a little more somber here. But we really need to discuss this Mr. Smlown issue. This is a concern. This is a serious concern. He has
specifically. Gav, it's a.
Is this an intervention?
My concern.
No. It's not an intervention, Gav. I don't know if you're aware of this. Mr. Smilon has been writing a number of letters to the show. Apparently, he's traveling around the world right now. I believe looking for.
I'm not sure,
and I'm not sure what your awareness of what he's doing
is his long lost brother Pablo.
See, usually I'm trying to read these letters exactly the way they're written, and Matt is shrieking the whole time in terror. And so I'm not sure. Like, I've read the letters, and I screen the emails before we read them, but I don't think the listeners necessarily hear it all over the sounds of his terror.
Unlike the rest of the show, where you just can't hear it over the sounds of my shrieking laughter.
I think we've addressed that a bit. That's been fixed. I've tried to be as the least funny as possible to make you not laugh. So there's that.
And of course, that's been showing up.
You do a very good job of that.
I appreciate it, but that's wow. See, that's the thing about the English is they're never being sarcastic. They're always so sincere, and if you get if you get a compliment from a British person, you can be sure that that's
it's not passive aggressive in any way.
No, or ironic or anything like
that. Oh, why would it be?
Nice. That is something actually I did want before we get to the Smilon thing. The big reason I would say that I am an Anglophile, as I most certainly am. Of course, England, obviously where the English language began and prospered. But more than that, the birthplace of irony, sarcasm, all the only tools I have in my toolbox, basically. And really, no one is better at being ironic and being sarcastic and being just total cunts, as they would say over there, than the English. So really, and I say English in the broadest sense because I never know when English or British is appropriate. But from me, from North America, to you on that island, thank you for sarcasm. I would not...
I would have no defense mechanism whatsoever without.
No. You really think people want to listen to Sincere Voyage, the podcast? Absolutely not. Earnest Voyage. But back on the Smilon.
Oh, again. Great. Now I'm just thinking of Haver and it's Earnest Voyage.
Yes, I was thinking some kind of relation to Ernest Borgnine.
Hopefully one day we'll have Borgnine on the show. our pal Jim... had this whole cast of characters, and among which was some strange future version of Ernest Borgnine as a dispenser. I don't know. It was pretty strange. Anyway, so it's enough frivolity. We were discussing the very serious topic of Mr. Smilon. Is he there, in fact, with you now? Or is he in Ireland? Is he traveling the world? Where is this?
Yes. He's indeed sitting here with us now.
Okay. I would ask for the audience, for the cover art, if it is possible, if you have a webcam, if you have some kind of camera there, can you get a picture of him there with the two of you? Is that possible?
Yes, I'm sure. Yes. I am quite
okay.
Oh, you're sure? Yes,
good. Sure. That's fantastic.
It doesn't have to be right this second. I mean,
well, obviously that would be pretty bad audio if we just stopped doing this.
But before you guys get too terribly drunk,
we're just gonna get a picture of them, and it's like, well, what? Where the hell is he? Well, who do you think took the picture?
Oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
But he is, in fact, sitting there with you.
It'll be a picture from 3 feet up.
How's he going to use the camera? Because he has those horrible little hands. As he likes to point out to us on a regular basis. What's the exact phrase that he uses? Not horrible hands.
Stupid hands. And he does have a German friend called Stupid Hans as well.
I read these jokes and I appreciate these jokes. Well, not jokes, of course. Realities.
These realities.
But again, over Matt's horror, often these don't make it on the air. And so if there's anything about Mr. Smilon you think the listeners need to know that maybe we're not communicating through our screaming, please, educate us. Let us know. What does the world need to know about Malvern Smilon?
Where did he come from?
Who is he? And why won't he leave us alone?
Well, his name
this
is
your character.
I was going to speak there.
So, go ahead.
Thank you.
Leave me out of it. Why?
Well, his name is Malvern Chomfrey Smilon.
Right.
He's from Russia, apparently.
Is that a, Russian surname? Did he anglicize that in it? It was like Smlaunovich or like
Smlaunovich? He's from Russia, and let me say, he'd been to the circus, or he ran away from the circus, unlike most people who run away to the circus.
All right. And he is, in fact, made of wool, correct?
Like, he is, in fact, made of wool, yes.
Okay. And is he stuffed with anything different, or is it wool all the way through?
He doesn't like to tell me.
Okay. And I need to be very clear. When we receive emails, when he creates a Facebook page, all of his online presence, that's not you. That's
obviously. I find it insulting to say that it was me.
Okay.
It is, in fact, him. His podcast is actually mr-smlown@hotmail.com.
His email. You said his
podcast. His email, yes.
You just, for the briefest moment, filled me with horror at the idea that I would be competing with a Smlowncast.
Yeah. And indeed, Matt with horror as well.
Yeah, that's not laughter there. That's nervous laughter to mask the horror. He's there right now, actually. Does he have to speak through you? Can he speak himself? I mean, I don't want to push anybody into anything that's uncomfortable, but we do have a bit of an unprecedented situation here. If he can speak and if he would like to speak, I certainly wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind our audience being more enlightened. Let's put it that way. I'm doing this for them. I don't want to hear him.
He's here. He may speak later on.
I got you.
Okay. He's just a bit shy, obviously, for being on a podcast. Yeah.
Maybe give him a beer.
And obviously he would sound a lot like me, being, you know, in the same house as me for quite some time.
Well, you two sound exactly alike, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It'd just be like me, but with a high-pitched voice.
No, I mean you and Gav.
But anyway, me and Gav. Yeah, he just sounds like me with a high-pitched voice as well.
As far as I know, we're talking
to one person. I'm high-pitched?
Yes.
Okay.
I mentioned when I first picked up, because I've met Irish Gav in person. We met at a Comic Con a few years ago. I have not met English Gav in person, or in fact spoken with him until now.
Is the first time, yes.
Yeah. And I mentioned briefly in passing that they sounded the same. In the first 30 seconds of the conversation, they did sort of have the same pitch, the same, like, you know. And I mentioned that they sounded very similar to me, and they both got very offended. And
wouldn't you?
For a moment there, I was quite pleased that there was an ocean separating us, because those empty beer bottles have to go somewhere, and I believe upside my head would be. So, gentlemen, I apologize for that. I certainly did not mean to imply that you sound anything alike, because no, not at all.
Clearly.
Don't know what I'm talking about there. I'm just full of crap. All right. Did we have any other business to discuss? I do have some letters I'd like to get to, but before, I want to make sure we've covered everything we've said we're going to cover.
Do you have anything you want to discuss, Gav? Final Fantasy, did you want to discuss that? Does anyone else know apart from you?
Nobody but me knows about Final Fantasy.
Well, Gav likes Final Fantasy. We'll just go on the record as saying.
I like Final Fantasy too.
Matt discuss Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Gav and I will just sit back and have a beer.
Yeah,
it's great, isn't it, Matt?
Oh, it is.
All right, I'm going to go to the mail, unless you guys can think of anything else.
Let's go to the mail!
I think we're fine, yeah.
All right. Yeah. We actually have a few questions from our Indian friend.
Oh, sorry.
Did I miss some hilarity there?
No, Gav's just dying.
No, I was just dying.
Which in itself is hilarity, but yes, carry on.
So you'll be then surrounded by your drinking buddy's corpse and a wool clown. That will not be at all strange.
That's not terrifying in any way.
No, in any way whatsoever. The question then is, which is more terrifying, the body or the clown?
Now the body vanishes and the clown gets like 2 feet bigger.
Oh, I do not want to think about that at all.
Awful.
Yeah, I'm still having trouble conveying to the audience just how large he is. I really think that's why I want a picture with you guys, because I want him next to people.
Well, I saw a pic, and I don't remember where I saw it now, of him just sitting next to, I guess it was one of you guys.
It might have been on his Facebook.
Yeah, and it's just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because you see
it. Was that the picture today you did on Twitter, Gav?
It was.
That was sat next
to my friend Jamie. I wasn't in that, but Gav was in the background.
But as long as you have a normal sized human being next to him, for perspective, you can see.
Well, I wouldn't say Jamie is a normal sized human being.
I don't know Jamie, so I can't speak to that.
But for the benefit of the listeners, we could get another photo.
Well, that would be nice.
You're very professional now, Gav.
Professional. Look it up in the book.
He is very professional.
All right. I'm sorry?
The young surgeon.
Oh, yeah. The young MD. Pressure under fire. All right. We have a letter here. We actually tried to answer this in our most... Well, one of the podcasts we did recently, and Matt was having some trouble accessing it with his little cell phone. So we will now read this many weeks too late. I apologize for that. Ashwin, as I believe his name is pronounced, our friend from India, he has asked us three questions.
All right.
First question is, when are you getting the handsome Indian man to stutter awkwardly on your fine show?
Well, I'm not Indian, but thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Are you stuttering?
Now, he's on right now.
All right, well, that's covered. Ashwin, Mr. Indian Man, anytime you want to come on is fine with us. We got some logistic issues to hash out as far as you being clear around the world, but beyond that, love to have
you. I mean, it's bad enough these guys are talking to us from, like, the distant future, but, like...
This is the first time we've had, again, transatlantic, and I have a couple other people in mind. We will be speaking to our friend in the U.S. Army who's stationed in Iraq in a few weeks. Which would be nice, Blandy. But until then, yeah, this is it. But yeah, definitely love to have you on, guy whose name I'm going to get wrong. Question the second: why do you think there's so much focus on reboots and or remakes in Hollywood these days? Haven't we talked about this?
We might have done.
I think we did because I think I had to apologize profusely for liking Star Trek again. And
well, that's all.
Did you not like Star Trek?
No, I couldn't stand it. I didn't think about
Star Trek. You just spent the whole time in the theater just sitting there with your arms crossed going, no, no, right. No, yeah. No.
Yes, yes,
no.
Yes. Facing the wrong way.
Right. You know, really, the only thing I did like about that movie was
the
lens flares.
I would pay to watch that.
Every 5 minutes, you just yell at the screen, that's not Captain Kirk.
This is not canon.
It's not Captain Kirk, and it was in fact a her.
Yeah, really, all I liked were the lens flares. That was it. The rest of the movie. Just...
Every time there was a lens flare, you went wee.
Well, it's sort of a call and response thing. It's kind of they were trying to go for like a Rocky Horror, you know, audience interaction. You're all supposed to do that. You're all when the lens flare happens, you're supposed to go wee. And question the third. If and when we get to the Jetsons' future, what button would each of you be most eager to press? That's a good question.
The red one.
The red button.
Oh, man, I was going to say that.
We can't all push the same button, obviously. So
no, we just stand around it and just press it intermittently. Doot. All right, now it's your turn. Doot. Now it's your turn.
What does the red button
awesome.
Do exactly?
It doesn't do anything. It's not even hooked up.
I press the nuke button from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Nice. Nicely done.
Yes.
And see, at the first part of that, I thought you were talking about the, there's an old video, a Genesis video that used the spinning image puppets.
Genesis, what's that?
And then only in...
My Ruby Shanty's rock group? Yes, that's what you would think it was, wouldn't it?
According to myth, the Earth was created in 6 days, but now watch out.
We can do it on CD.
No, I was thinking of the it had the spitting image puppets, the and it had
yes.
Ronald Reagan
yes, the Land of Confusion video.
Right, exactly. He rolls out of bed and he's like, "Oh, I need a glass of water." And he goes to push the water button and instead he pushes the nuke button. And that's just I'm picturing, you know, Gav. Oh, hoity-toity, I need a glass of water then.
Gav doesn't sound like that.
No, of course he doesn't.
I sound like Gav.
Exactly like him.
Tungsten carbide drills.
Bloody those tungsten carbide drills.
Well, someone just made my day.
That's actually, I think you missed that. You weren't there for the first couple of minutes of the pre-show. You were struggling with your internet. That is how Gav identifies English Gav's accent as being Graham Chapman from that that particular Python sketch. that actually has
say a line from that sketch.
What, the tungsten carbide drills?
Yeah, but you have to be sort of indignant about it. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Tungsten carbide drills?
Yeah, that's it.
Tungsten carbide drills?
That's,
what the bloody hell?
See, no, I didn't want to mock, you know.
Something you use in mines, Father.
No, actually, I did want to kind of avoid, you know, the mockery of, oh, you guys talk differently than we talk.
But, oh, are you kidding? This is hilarious.
Well, yeah. But I was
now who's got the accent, huh?
I am fully willing to embrace the fact that I have an accent to them. I mean, that's not I'm not one of those Americans. But what I would love to hear, what really is high comedy to me, no kidding, is hearing Brits trying to sound American. I would love to hear you guys try an English or an American accent.
Only if you try an English accent first.
Okay. I need a.
Oh, you're going to do it. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You were bluffing. No, I certainly, let's see. Fuck. I need a good little, like a monologue or something I know that's been said in
English.
Yeah. Like, God, I can't think of a good, fuck. I can't, how could I be drawing a it went whenever I did go. How about that?
A fishy. Oh.
Ethel the Aardvark goes quietly surveying.
I really just funny Python voices is about all.
Yes. This goes out to each and every one of you.
There you go. Now the other one has to. Come on.
Yeah, off you go, Gav. Oh, you can do a French accent. Oh, you can do a generic London accent if you want.
Oh, you got it.
I've no idea for an American accent, man.
Yeah, it's not like you've ever heard an American before.
You really gotta go over the top and pronounce every R as hard as you can. Seriously, hearing the Python guys, hearing like Stephen Fry or like anybody pretend to be American just cracks me the hell up. Because you guys, as much as we get it wrong, so do you.
Yeah, well, yes. He can't even do his own accent. No, I can't.
Okay, our next question here comes from, actually comes from Flonk.
It comes from Flonk, are you ready?
Well, we couldn't, it's part of the show experience.
I'm literally vibrating on my seat.
part of the guest experience, part of the full Sarcastic Voyage package is you must be here for a Flonk question. So, or as Matt might call it, a Flonkstion.
My answer is yes.
It's like we finally made it.
The question actually is Star Trek related. So English Gav, you may have to sit this one out, I'm afraid. But this was not by design. I picked the first Flonk question here. Actually, this is directed at me anyway. Dear Al, you idiot. Al, you're a dumbass. They separated the ship 4 times on Next Gen, not 2. 2? They did it twice the first season. Then when they were fighting Lore's Borg. Then finally in Generations, just before the Star Drive blew up. How could you not know that? This is basic Trek trivia. Captain Flonk, USS El Savior Lobo. Ah, that's your...
Oh, there's a name I haven't heard in years.
That was your old handle on the message board, correct?
Yeah, the first
that's
one.
That's a name you haven't heard since before you were born?
Yeah.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about. actually, Flonk, I'm sorry, you're a dumbass. I will admit that I was incorrect, that the ship separated more times than I thought. You left out the biggest, most popular, obvious one of all, which was...
Look, best of both worlds.
Yes, best of both worlds, yeah. Exactly. Where the ship actually did something useful when it separated. The other times they...
They just did it for a laugh.
Yeah, like the first season was like, look what we can do. Whee!
Whee!
And then a lens flare. And
yeah, it was like Riker was trying to move stuff into the saucer section. Quick, let's move the saucer section somewhere else and he won't be able to move his stuff there.
He's just sitting on the turbo lift waiting for it to go. Why aren't I in the saucer section?
Deck 5. There is no deck 5. What do you mean there's no... Where did the... Oh, you guys.
Look, you guys, come on.
But really, any next...
And then he got his manual joystick out and moved the saucer section into that.
No, Geordi's in charge of that.
And he put his leg up by Data.
And said, red alert!
Now, the thing about the saucer section, and we brought this up before, is there was always that guy, and it might have been Worf, it might have been Troy, I don't remember, was always saying they needed to do that. Like, that was their first, you know, we got to separate the ship, but they never actually did it that much. And any fan of Next Gen knows you don't count the first season. The first season was like a practice run. Nobody watches those episodes. Nobody likes those episodes. So the two times they did it in season one doesn't count. So they did it once in Best of Both Worlds. Did they do it any other time?
Generations.
Generations, but that's not the series.
No.
Yeah, that's the only time I remember them doing it.
Okay. And you really, honestly, not just for the purposes of this answer, if I were to pick any two people that knew just as much about Star Trek as I, it would be Matt.
It would be Gav, yeah.
And if you guys don't know, then
then
I think we're correct in saying that I'm sorry, Flonk, you in fact are the one who is the dumbass. So
you're the one with the liquor.
Right. There's more Star Trek questions from Flonk. We'll hold off on those.
Thank God.
Let's see, one more. This is actually a bit pop culture related, but you may get this one, English Gav. Matt, this is from Fourth Man, by the way.
Oh, okay.
From Chris Coleman, our week four guest, Fourth Man. Matt, do you consider yourself to be Al's Flava Flav? Are you more his oats?
I don't know who...
You know who Flava Flav is. He wears the big clock. He goes, yeah, boy.
Oh, no, I'm not Flava Flav.
Okay.
See, I'm going to go with oats because
I'm actually a pretty big Public Enemy fan. I do enjoy their music. I am quite white, but I still quite enjoy the Public Enemy. The dynamic is Chuck D has sort of the deep voice, and he's sort of the serious, like, you know, rapping about the politics and the racism, and Flava Flav sort of prances around and is the comic relief.
Oh, well then, yes, in that case, I am. I'm always prancing when we're hanging out.
It's true. Damn it! But it is.
Well, he's never not prancing.
Now you'll notice I didn't say that.
No, I thought I'd pick that up for you.
No, thank you.
I will say yours is.
You could be the
avoid.
New Matt.
No.
Your catchphrase is so much easier to avoid. Than
pass on that gypsy curse.
You know, I should mention when I was asking this question, Amanda is sitting here quietly while I'm recording, playing her Nintendo DS. She was trying so hard to stifle a laugh. And she can't hear, she can only hear me. She can't hear your answer. She's laughing at the question. She's laughing at Fourth Man even bringing that up. And I'm getting a vigorous nod here. So.
Tell her to go try on hats.
Yes, please, go try on hats.
I have a hat.
And then tell her hats are evil.
Hats are indeed evil. If you want to say, like, there is the prominent rumor that you're imaginary. If you want to speak, I'm not, like, speak, by all means. I don't want... And now, of course, she refuses to.
Yeah.
Because she wants everyone to think she's imaginary. You
should have told her not to say anything.
Yeah.
She would have just grabbed the mic from you and started screaming down.
Keep your mouth shut, woman. Just...
make me a sandwich.
Yeah, make me a sandwich. You didn't buy any bread. All right. So anyway.
I have a hat.
The second question was, are you more my oats? Of course, Mustache Man and the Hall & Oats.
Oh, yeah.
Just say yes.
Fine. Yeah.
Actually, unfortunately, we seem to.
No, I'm the Garfunkel to your Simon.
Hey, you know, Paul Simon was married to Carrie Fisher. I can deal with that. I have such a crush on Carrie Fisher now.
Actually, are you the Garfunkel to his Cylon?
Ooh. Nicely done.
Yes.
Except I look like you now. So, I mean, not you specifically. I mean, as a Cylon, I look like a human. So you really, for all intents and purposes, you think I'm Simon. But I'm really
so that
Simon.
Might be even more creepier then.
Yes, more creepier.
Is that would do.
That's some nice English there.
Yeah.
I have an excuse.
You're drunk. Of course you have an excuse. Unfortunately, we are kind of hitting our time wall here, which is the official technical term for it, the time wall.
Ran directly into the time wall.
Yes. Unfortunately, I do have some plans this afternoon that don't involve talking to drunken friends across the Atlantic.
They do involve buying Amanda hats.
Yes, we are going hat shopping, in fact. She's never not buying a hat.
It's true.
Guys, do you have anything to add? Anything we didn't mention that we should have? Any kind of anything?
Nothing in particular.
No,
I was just going to.
Gav has something. He can go.
All right.
No.
He's got silence. Question.
He has a question.
A question, yes. I was going to ask you,
yes,
before we agreed to come on. about Discworld.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what are your favourite sort of scenes of the whole Discworld series?
Oh, fuck. Oh. Oh.
Well, of course, the aforementioned, there's and unfortunately it spoils the story to say specifically what scene I mean, but in Men-at-Arms with Cuddy and Detritus.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
There's a very touching scene toward the end of that.
Oh, fuck. There's so many.
Oh, the most of mine happen in the climax of the story that really spoils the plot is the problem. Because he writes really powerful climaxes where a character suddenly does something, and it's like, that's the coolest, most badass moment. And it spoils the story for anyone who hasn't read it. So I would say the climax of the one where they tried to turn Granny into a vampire.
Mm-hmm. The Hogfather was really awesome.
Yeah,
the whole last half of that book was awesome.
And the climax of was it Thud? Where's my cow?
Oh yes.
Where's my cow?
Oh fuck.
Well, while Matt's thinking, what about you guys?
The hardest question I've ever been given.
Well, ponder it for a minute. Well,
thank you.
Well,
I said personally myself, it's the scene in Pyramids where I can't remember his name. The assassin's
kind of a
one-off
character that didn't come back, but I did enjoy the
Tepic.
Yeah,
Tepic. That's the one. Yeah. He was going to take a test and he never did it, and this other guy took the test for him. Which was just like this really easy test. And it's just how we sort of approached this really easy test, which was just to write his name. And it's how he dealt with that test.
Nice. So basically, without even realizing it, you've kind of outed yourself as appreciating sort of a Star Trek moment. Because that's very much a Kobayashi Maru, Kirk outsmarting the test kind of moment. And so you've basically outed yourself as a closet Trekkie is what you've done.
Excellent.
Well, you did like the new Star Trek movie.
Oh, I love the new Star Trek movie.
Everybody does. And basically this entire podcast is about that.
As it's called?
Fake Star Trek, of course.
Fake Star Trek, yes.
Irish Gav, how about you? Your favorite Discworld moments?
I do like the Garsgars one where they talk about one in a million.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually come up a few books after that. That is where that began. But
that was my other one as well.
Oh, that was your other one as well, was it? You're not piggybacking on me way. Not in a gay way.
Oh, dear. They seem to have fallen over. That's fine. Matt, favorite Discworld moment? Anything?
I really got to go with, after thinking about it for a while, the end of Mort is just awesome.
Yeah, it's quite a good one. And again,
yes, it's pretty good as well, yeah.
And again, if any of you have an interest in this series and haven't read it yet, Matt, you recommend Mort as
go pick up Mort.
I say Guards. You guys, any
your podcast homework for this week is to go buy
both. Very good starting points.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah, I wouldn't say start. Well, I started with the first. You know,
with the beginning, and they're not bad.
Yeah,
and they get
only because you just have to start with the beginning with everything. Sure. Kind of
that's a completist nerd thing.
Yeah. But I do think Mort or Guards, there are very excellent starting points for either of them.
And again, the author is Terry Pratchett. These books are fairly easy to find pretty much anywhere. Again, they're light. They're more comedic than they are fantasy, but there are fantasy elements to them. Cannot recommend them highly enough. Terry Pratchett is without a doubt my favorite living author.
The whole of Lords and Ladies is one of my absolute favorite of all of them.
In fact, that
was a good one.
In fact, the climax of that with
Dragon, yes.
That's and again, it's always that climactic moment that I can't.
Do you like that one? Huh?
Yes.
What's that?
Can you tell?
it's coming through a bit.
Yeah,
that's the one with the witches, isn't it?
Yes,
yes. I know what you mean now.
Right.
Yes.
I really have to get back on. I think I haven't got two. I have two left to listen to before the new one, so I really have to get back.
Yeah. The actually,
this world book about a dead dog. God damn it.
Gaspo the dead dog.
Oh, nice. It's about a dog named Gaspo. Right. Okay, we do have to wrap things up. I was hoping to hear from Mr. Smlom, but if he can't speak, that's totally fine.
He's not drunk enough.
Not going to force the issue. Gentlemen, thank you so much. This was a blast. I enjoy talking to you guys. Love to have you back on when you're drunk again, which is always. So
tomorrow.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Right. Matt, as always, thank you. Listeners. Oh, one other quick thing I did want to mention. It has come to my attention that we have more than 5 listeners on this program.
Yes, which kind of you mentioned just when we agreed to do
it. Hey, come on the air, by the way. I just discovered we have hundreds of... And this is not a huge number in terms of podcasting. We're hardly ready to quit our jobs yet, as much as we'd love to, particularly Matt.
Especially considering the pay rate of the professional podcast kateer. I could basically buy a house.
Oh, well, we start selling those advice cunt t-shirts where, you know, we can retire.
Oh yeah.
I'm buying 6.
Unfortunately I'm not able. And if anyone listening, anyone within the sound of my voice knows how to find out how many people are getting the show through iTunes, please let me know. Apparently there is no way to know that, but as far as people who get the show directly from the website, algar.com, in MP3 form, we're getting a couple hundred hits a week, not hits, downloads, like about 200 people a week, which again is not a large number, but in the circles we travel in, you're basically hearing on the show everyone that I know is listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten to them all yet, but maybe 20, 30 people that I know of, and this is a couple hundred plus iTunes. This thing has taken off, and really, thank you. Thank you for passing the word.
Thank you so much.
We don't advertise, apart from talking about it on Twitter and on Facebook and on occasional message boards. It's all word of mouth, which means it's all you guys. And I just wanted to say...
That's just so fucking cool.
We noticed there are strangers now writing us letters to be answered on the air. There are people approaching us on Twitter that we've never met before. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you haven't written to us, please, we want to hear from you.
We'd like to, but again, no pressure. And if you want to come on the show... get drunk.
Yeah. It's as simple as getting drunk.
In number 3, we recorded sort of a hesitant podcast that didn't quite work out, we thought. And then the guest that week, Mark Bosco, started drinking the gin.
Unlocking it with the magic of gin.
And the one we recorded before that was good, but the one with the gin was so much better.
Gin-soaked.
And I'm reminded... now talking to the Gavs, that really alcohol is the key.
It is. Get drunk. It is the answer to all. It is the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
I would not know what you're talking about.
No, I didn't think you would. I'm just trying to make the record for the most kind of verboten comments.
I should note that we're not saying them, though. It's you.
No, we're just repeating it's true over and over and over again.
We're never not doing it. All right, guys, thank you, and we're going to stop talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website again is Algar, AlGar.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2009.
He was a suburban child of the 70s.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast would like to remind you to drink responsibly. And a lot.